I do stand by it, and I say this without any personal animus at all. I mean, in some ways, I actually kind of feel sorry for Joe Biden. I mean, he's in the twilight years of his life. He is not, obviously, has not been in charge for some time. And I know this by personal observation, and now the whole world knows it. And it's been very, very concerning to me over the last, year and a half since I've had this
position.
Can you
tell us a story when you say personal observation? What kind of thing did you see?
It's public now because the Wall Street Journal got it and put it on the front page. But January a year ago, almost exactly a year ago, I became Speaker in October 2023, and there were all sorts of big national security concerns and everything going on, and I started requesting a meeting with the president because, I'm kind of old school. I'm a constitutional law guy. The Speaker of the House should be able to talk to the president, especially in times of great national interest and calamity. But they wouldn't let me meet with him, and his staff kept giving me excuses. This went on for like 8 or 9 weeks. I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, he doesn't have time. What are you talking about? I'm second in line of the presidency. He has time. I need to talk to him. We had, I can't say the classified parts, but we had some big, big national concerns at the time that I was losing sleep over. Finally, I just went to the Hill Press Corps and I said, the president is not being allowed to meet with the Speaker. There's a problem. So they started putting pressure on him. Long story short, they finally relented. They invited me to the White House. I show up and I realize it's actually an ambush because it's not just me and the president. It's also Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, Hakeem, the CIA director, everybody. And then, so I walked in the Oval and, oh, I know what this is. This is they're going to hotbox the Speaker on Ukraine funding. That's what it was. This is probably third week of January. We sit down, we're in the midst of it, and the whole conversation, and I'm going, we don't need to have this conversation. The president reaches over just like this. We're sitting in the right next to the fireplace in the Oval, and he grabs my arm and he says, the Speaker and I just need a couple minutes together. Would y'all just leave us alone? And I looked up on the faces of some of the staff standing around the wall, and they're like, no, he did it. So he called it. He's the commander in chief. So everybody leaves, and he and I are standing awkwardly in the middle of the Oval Office right over the rug by that coffee table. And I said, Mr. President, thanks for the moments. This is very important. I got some big national security things I need to talk to you about that I've heard and I think you know, and what do we do? But first, real quickly, Mr. President, can I ask you a question? I cannot answer this from my constituents in Louisiana. Sir, why did you pause LNG exports to Europe? Like, I don't understand, liquefied natural gas is in great demand by our allies. Why would you do that? Because you understand, we just talked about Ukraine. You understand you're fueling Vladimir Putin's war machine because they got to get their gas from him, And he looks at me stunned with this, and he said, I didn't do that. And I said, Mr. President, yes, you did. It was an executive order like, 3 weeks ago. And he goes, no, I didn't do that. And he's arguing with me. I said, Mr. President, respectfully, could I go out here and ask your secretary to print it out? We'll read it together. You definitely did that. And he goes, oh, you talk about natural gas. Yes, sir. He said, you misunderstand. He said, what I did is I signed this thing we're gonna conduct a study on the effects of LNG. I said, no, you're not, sir. You paused it. I know. I have the terminal, the export terminals in my state. I talked to those people this morning. This is doing massive damage to our economy, national security. It occurred to me, Barry, he was not lying to me. He genuinely did not know what he had signed. And I walked out of that meeting with fear and loathing because I thought, we're in serious trouble. Who is running the country? Like, I don't know who put the paper in front of him, but he didn't know.